Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 149.2.
Yeah.
Well,
controversial.
Or version 2. Or part 2. Or, well, you know what I mean.
It's the one before the 150.
Yeah.
But the one before... Wasn't that last week? No.
This is version two. Basically, with Coxon off sucking up to his soon-to-be new father-in-law, Jerome sucking up to some agencies on a lunch.
He's kissing ass, isn't
he? And Staples just sucking someone off.
They
can't be here, unfortunately. Chris is at the bar. He'll be back any second.
He's not there very well, though, you know, I have to say.
No, he's not. Obviously, Andy Franks, as you can hear, is with me. So we thought we'd just do a slightly shorter, more punchy show before the big 150 next week. And we've gone rogue before. There's no surprise there, really.
We'll do it again.
We're just going to have... This is version two.
Here he is.
Hello.
Chris, you had some trivia for us, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Hang on. Well, we're going straight in with trivia.
Well, I think it's quite a good question.
Yeah. All right.
Right. I think we'll need a bit of time to think about it.
Yeah. So answers at the end. You've got
them. Right. Have you got the answer written down?
It's in my head, Dan, which is as good as.
That is.
Just don't forget it.
I will not forget it. Don't worry.
That means we can't cheat, which is good.
Yeah.
Or bad for
right,
us.
So he is the only player to have scored in a Champions League final, an FA Cup final, a UEFA Cup final, and a League Cup final.
I've had this before.
Oh, this is on a postcard.
I can't remember. Please. What was it again? Say again.
So it's the he scored in the Champions League final,
yeah,
the FA Cup final,
yeah,
the UEFA Cup final,
yeah,
and the League Cup final. So all four.
Bloody hell. McManaman?
McManaman scored in a...
He scored in the Champions League final, didn't he?
No.
Yeah, I think he did. Maybe he did, I don't know.
No, he didn't.
He was man in a match in one of them, in the last one. Oh, I don't know.
So you've got to think of someone that's played in all those games.
Yeah.
Obviously, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Come on,
Chris. We can't have scored a goal in it and not played, could he?
True.
Fucking hell.
Right. Anyway, well, I'll let you mill that one.
We'll have a little mull over that one.
Yeah.
You can tell us if we can't get it at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. Let's quickly look back at the weekend's results, I reckon.
Yeah, on that one.
What?
Brentford finally stuck a home win in.
About time, too.
Beating Colchester, and I want to talk about fickle fans. We're all fickle fans, but some fans are worse.
That's slander.
Some fans are seriously more fickle than others.
Go on.
So, I think Uwe Rosler, he's come onto a bit of criticism at the moment. Nearly didn't get my words out there. Probably for tinkering, this, that, and the other. He took a few players off and made a few changes on Saturday, which the crowd weren't too pleased with, and I can understand that. But when you're 1-0 down at home, things aren't going your way, fans tend to get on the back of the players and the manager, I get that. But to be singing you're going to be sacked in the morning is a little bit extreme. I think Ros is almost going to be a sort of victim of his own near success, if that was the case. He took one of our best players off, Adam Forshaw, who apparently had been ill throughout the week and hadn't been able to train. So we got 60 minutes out of him, and that was pretty good.
There was an uproar when he went off.
We ended up winning 3-1.
What was the score when he went off?
1-0 down.
Oh, bloody hell.
The same section of the crowd that were singing Ros is going to get sacked in the morning were heard at the end of the game singing There's Only One Uwe Rosler.
It's
frustrating. Yeah. And now if you compare that to, we were languishing mid-table before that game. We beat Bristol City away on Tuesday night. Bristol City still without a win in the football leagues, by the way. And we only won 2-1. But suddenly we're in seventh and we're a point off of the playoff places. Two games.
Fickle. Isn't it, Anne? Fickle.
I tell you what, if anyone else is frustrated with fickle fans, let us know about it.
Yeah.
But speaking of singing, what I only half caught this last night. Is there now a section of Old Trafford which is the singing section? Does anyone else see this?
It's a louder section, isn't it? It's the Stratford end, isn't it?
No, but isn't it called... I probably should have researched this a bit more before I started talking about it. I was hoping that someone was going to jump in here.
There's singing sections at Wembley.
Is there a singing section at Wembley?
So say if you go to a playoff final at Wembley, which I had the unfortunate disappointing experience of, there are certain sections within allocated sides of the ground where that are designated as a singing section.
Well, I think there's
if
now...
you're taking a couple of kids and your wife, you don't want to be in those sections.
Right.
It's going to be a lot more colourful language.
Is singing section a nice name for rowdy section?
You could probably expect to hear a few C-bombs throughout 90 minutes of football in the singing section,
But they were talking about last night, I think there's now, because they went over to the singing section of Old Trafford.
I did hear that last night.
It's a nice term or something.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think there's now an official singing section. I think, and what was it, Gene Neville was saying about trying to bring the atmosphere back to the all-seater stadiums instead of like how it used to be when it was standing, all that sort of thing.
The idea behind it, so say if you've got two travelling, you know, teams to Wembley, it's about making sure that actually the people that want to sing aren't dispersed around the ground and that you've all got them in an enclosed, you're all sitting in the same bit, so you'll get a better noise out of them.
I'm going to Spurs, I don't think we all sing. Like, I don't know. Yeah, obviously, there will be people dotted about that don't. Yeah. But you know, someone like Spurs,
There is a separate section in the Emirates, it's right in the corner, as far away from the away fans as you can get.
Really?
That's where they keep all the rowdy, sick, hard, die-hard season ticket holders.
Ours are in the sort of, as you know, if you've got a square, then you've got sort of the two shortest distance between. Okay, it's not a square, in rectangle, sorry. The two shortest points at the short end, like they're that end at Spurs, so they're quite close to each other.
I like the idea. Me and my flatmate, we always talk about making the bottom ring of the Emirates standing. I think it'd be fucking brilliant. I'd love to do that. I'd love to bring standing back.
Yeah, well.
There's a lot of fans that would like that as well. Yeah. But
he argued that, it'd be great, we can go up there, £10 a ticket at the Arsenal. I was like, it's not going to be £10 a ticket, it'll still be £60.
Definitely won't be £10 a ticket.
Yeah. Just get more of a sit.
You think they might knock a fiver off it if you're lucky.
Did anyone see Arsenal's performance against Norwich? Obviously you did, Chris.
Supposedly, though, we were talking about this earlier, right? Yes, obviously Wilshere's goal was wonderful. There was only one touch in that build-up that wasn't meant, and that was sort of Wilshere's little sort of back heel. That luckily went back to Giroud, but then was finished off with a wonderful little touch from Giroud.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of, and Ramsey's goal was a great goal.
It was.
But I was chatting to that supposedly Arsenal didn't play particularly well as over the 90 minutes. Yeah. They didn't play as well as they have been over the 90 minutes. They, you know, obviously a 4-1 in score is pretty emphatic. There was a couple of great goals.
But a 2-1, they were maybe on the ropes a little bit.
But, no, I don't think it was ever really on the ropes. Norwich game.
Yeah, yeah.
They're never really on it, but it was more the fact that they've been playing the game before. Yeah.
We have been really, really good. Previous to that, we've been really good. Top of the table, we won. I think I said to you the last game we lost was other than the Champions League game, it was Villa 66 days ago. It was a long time ago.
You've had a nice run of fixtures though. So you got Palace away.
That is changing now.
Palace away, and then you got a good old run of decent games. So we'll see what you made of end of November, won't we?
I mean, it was a bit of a, I'd say after a bit, they'd say a bit of a wake up call on against Leverkusen on.
Dortmund.
On Tuesday night. Dortmund.
They were the first real opposition we've had this season, and I'm including Spurs in that.
Motherfucker. I'm going to counter that with a brand new Spurs team. We weren't ready. Yeah. All right, yeah, that's no, fine, enough. Fine.
So Dortmund were the real sort of first top quality team we've played.
Should it be in the sending off?
I don't know.
Who? No.
Lewandowski.
The elbow, no. He hasn't actually looked at him and elbowed him.
Has anyone seen the red card last night? Chiellini for Juventus?
No, I heard it was terrible though, wasn't it?
It wasn't a bad...
a terrible decision.
Really bad decision. Yeah. I mean, in the Premiership, would you even see a yellow card? It's doubtful. It happened in the Bernabeu in front of the Real Madrid fans, and I tell you what, they are a 12th man sometimes. Ref was bullied into making a decision.
Who
was rolling around on the floor like an absolute pussy. But,
who was a player? what's his name? Viana? No, who was a player that kicked the ground and looked like he died? It looked like he'd done the biggest dive in the world. Did you not see this? Ah, bollocks.
No, I haven't seen it.
Knowledge is the bomb.
Never mind.
He's got, there was a little nudge him in the penalty area, and then he's. But the sort of play's gone on a couple more seconds. He's gone to cross the ball in, and he's just leathered the ground completely, missed the ball, then gone this amazing sort of like forward flip, and claimed for the pen. Now everyone's taking the piss out of him, saying like there was no one within like 3 yards of him. But And it's like, how can you claim a pen after kicking the ground? Like, I don't think...
Was it a really, really rainy match? Was it a really, really wet match last night? I can't remember what mixed fixture it was, but it was really, it should have been called off. Like, it was...
CSK Man City was
the pitch was diabolical.
They painted the pitch.
The pitch was diabolical.
They painted it.
Yeah. They sprayed it. They sprayed it green. Yeah.
They spray painted it.
There's so
fucking ridiculous.
So much sand on it, ridiculous. Didn't stop Aguero from having an absolute amazing.
Hang on, I haven't finished about him a bit before. Anyway, so fuck it, nothing else. He appealed for Penn, but I think he appealed. He didn't appeal for him kicking the ground and diving. I think he appealed for the nudge, which meant that he miskicked the ball, which then meant that he then kicked the ground.
But clumsy boy of the week.
What
about the naughty boy of the week? Samuel Eto'o.
We've got a
Samuel bloody Eto'o.
When was that?
That was at the weekend.
I was at the weekend. There's so much football going on at the moment. I mean, I don't get me wrong, it's amazing, but I can't remember.
My tiny brain cannot comprehend.
You know what I mean? There's so much football, and I love it.
What a shitter for Cardiff, though. I mean, to be 1-0 up, and to be given a decision like that.
Yeah. Well, what's his name? He's been suspended, isn't he?
The
referee for this weekend is not officiating.
It's not Eto'o's fault. He's been a bit cheeky, naughty boy of the week, whatever you want to call it. But
but it shouldn't have been allowed.
Should it? And I do feel sorry for Cardiff because they were playing well up until that stage. Well, they still played well again. 4-1's a bit unfair.
Marshall ended up having an absolute mare for a couple more of the goals as well.
Yep.
Which is a shame because he's been on absolute fire so far this season. He was magnificent against Spurs. Like he's been class so far this season, and you can see that him bouncing that ball then and Eto'o nicking it and then still managed to miss it really knocked him for six, because then a couple of really bad errors after that to give him a couple more goals, which was it's a real shame, and because I hate Chelsea, which makes it even more of a shame.
I hate Chelsea.
Apart from that, there wasn't
Sunderland
really...
Sunderland played well, didn't they?
No, I know. I mean, he is.
To be a Sunderland fan, I'm saying,
talk about a poison chalice. Did you see? I didn't even write this down. This is just off the top of my head. I was talking to you about it. You might not have seen
winging
it either.
I'm winging it.
So, Joey Barton read about one of our Trinity Mirror journalists up in the northeast, his match report on the Sunderland players.
Oh, right.
Can't remember the guy's name, Neil someone. Basically, to be honest, it was fucking unprofessional, right? So in the ratings column,
they all got twos and threes,
gutless.
Gutless.
So it was,
and not quite as gutless as his teammates for two or three of them. I did read that.
So every single one was gutless, no passion, gutless. Why did they sign him? Gutless, shouldn't have been on the pitch. Gutless, ha 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 ha. Gutless something. And it was honestly, it was fucking terrible journalism, to be honest. It was embarrassing. Joey Barton picked up on it and tweeted about it. And Ed Mallion.
What, he's got a Twitter account? Joey Barton?
Apparently so.
No.
Ed Mallion, who's our deputy editor of Mirror Sport, and a good lad, he picked up on it and basically started a conversation with Joey Barton about, do you not think it's fair, do you not think it's all right for journalists to
have an opinion on it.
And
was it a gutless display? Yes, it was.
Well, yeah, and then but Barton came back with, of course they are, but walking out onto a pitch in front of 40,000 people, you need to have guts just to do that. And
not calling for the money somebody paid.
Yeah, but calling somebody gutless is probably one of the, if not worst thing you can say to a football player.
It's a put down. Yeah.
I think, but it's a massive put down.
Yeah.
I think it's like, something like your performance was gutless. Like that is one of the harshest things you can say. But it was the way it was written. Anyway, it got into a sort of good back tête-à-tête between Barton and one of an Ed's journalist. Barton probably.
No.
Can you ever really win an argument on the internet?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Barton's lost quite a few on Twitter, disappointed that he's won.
But Barton came across he came across well, but he did say at one point that, how would you like trying to be a footballer for a day? I'll even go to centre back out of position and mark you. Look forward to giving you a kick in the nuts or something like that.
But always talks about why, Joey. Always the violence.
Yeah.
does always come back to violence, doesn't it? So What about the Thunder Bastard on Monday night?
Oh, it's disgusting. Oh, God. I mean, you've seen it, haven't you?
Do you know what I love the most about this? The thing I love about it, Martin Joel, after the game, he said, and a brilliant comment, he said, right, I'll tell you now, I've watched this lad play in training. He's never even tried anything like that in training. He'll never try anything like that in training again, and he'll never score a goal like that in a game in his whole life. What a goal. I mean,
mate, not many players in their lives will be able to play.
The ground that he covered to bring the ball down at pace is one thing, but then to stick your right foot around it, and I thought, I mean, I would face plant straight away. He's running off, he stayed on his feet and ran off celebrating. Unbelievable.
But do you know what makes him do not see icing on the cake? It was his wrong foot.
Is he left footed?
He's fucking left footed.
Fair enough.
That is the icing on the motherfucking cake.
He's not, I didn't know
he's
that.
He's left footed.
Oh my God.
He's fucking left footed.
Sign him up.
Literally unbelievable.
See what Wilshere said on Twitter.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that.
Take a bow. He said,
first thing he just went, well, that's my goal of the season.
Take a bow.
A lad. And he's right. And yes, it was a great Arsenal goal and a great move. But I mean, that was unbelievable techers. Sidwell's goal after was a fucking great goal as well. Top corner, volley. What goal? Everyone's talking about.
Well, there's another Thunder Bastard. Two Thunder Bastards we've had.
But did you see his goal at the weekend?
He's scoring for fun at the moment, isn't he?
His back scorpion flick volley.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's disgusting. Oh, it's absolutely. It's. I mean,
Zlatan.
Oh, it's Zlatan-esque. It probably doesn't even make Zlatan's top three.
Yeah, he's getting better and better every year. It's fine wine.
Honestly, I love him. Yeah, he's out muscled. So he's out muscled two sort of defenders that the ball's dropping on the sort of edge of the 6 yard box with a goal behind him, and he's just done a sort of back. How his leg has got that high anyway? His leg is about the same height as his head when he connects with it. Bear in mind he's about 7 foot tall. Yeah,
he's tall.
And he's done a sort of kung fu back kick, and it's come so sweetly off the back of his foot, heel, and just gone straight into the net. Keeper's got no chance. Absolutely outrageous. And then scored the Thunder Bastard last night.
He's scoring a few weldies at the moment. I'll tell you what, actually, talking about Ibrahimovic, so Champions League, I'm interested to see how PSG do against some decent opposition. They seem to be strolling it in the French League. And they're definitely doing all right in their group at the moment, aren't they? Be interesting to see how they do against tougher opposition. Because they didn't do too badly last year against Barcelona in the knockout stages. And they were definitely a few signings short of what they are now. I think they're going to be a very interesting cup of tea when it comes down to the knockout stages, Champions League. It'll be very interesting. Yeah.
Also, City are in a good position.
I'd say Man City have got one foot in the door. Position. Pellegrini.
I'm glad as well. I want to see them in the knockout stages.
I disagree with that.
I don't really.
I've been enjoying the fact that they've just not got past that.
Yeah,
stage.
I've really enjoyed it.
That you can't fucking buy everything.
Yeah.
I'd rather see. They haven't fulfilled their potential as a team in the Champions League the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They are seeming to. It looks like they've got around that.
From a sort of neutral as you are and a non Premier League supporting.
Yeah.
Being a Premier League fan, being a Spurs and an Arsenal who are up there trying to compete with the likes of Man City, you know, who have got bundles of cash.
Yeah, and they're doing so well everywhere else. They've won the FA Cup, the league.
Exactly. It's been quite funny, especially that Spurs have still got further than them in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Like, it's been quite a nice little thing. I know what you mean, from a news point of view. Shut up. Good enough. It's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
And funny. Racism again last night.
Well, it started up. Do you see on. Chris Hughton as well, close to the home. Chris Hughton was a target of some racist abuse.
I wasn't aware of that.
At the weekend, yeah.
That's not.
None
of it's on.
You expect that in Russia.
Chris Hughton, he's such a nice guy.
He is, isn't he?
He's such a lovely fella. How can you be. Wankers.
Last night. But you know what you just said as well, and that sums it up. You expect it in Moscow.
Yeah, which is. No, or Russia.
But that, in Russia. Well, yeah. But this is the problem, and this is why, UEFA, FIFA, whatever body it is, they need to actually
Well, they're having something's well, they're blaming the ref. Well, they're blaming the ref because the ref didn't.
It's still because Yaya Toure. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not. Except, no, I don't think that's entirely fair, Ryan, to be honest. I think we accept as your average person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think like you know the governing bodies are like, well, it's Russia, it's all right.
Yeah.
But I know, but it's. Yeah, I agree. Like
that's a Joe Public fan. It's like, Russia.
Yeah,
like
standard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, no, you're absolutely right. But there's been heavy criticism today of the referee for, A, well, for basically ignoring it. So I was reading up about it, supposedly about the rules. You know, the first thing you can do is postpone the game. No, sorry, just like take a quick stop in play to like get the stadium announcer to announce something, you know, like with the fans. To then if it's like, then either... Then have a sort of a longer stop in play to deal with it, and then suspend the game if necessary. And it's down to his call, and he did nothing.
The referee's the only one that's
and a fucking so, yeah, it is terrible.
Close the game to fans. That's what I say. You know,
who what?
Close the game.
Well, play the next game behind.
Yeah, because actually, a football team can't function if they aren't getting gate receipts. So,
if you're playing in the Champions League
and you can't fill your stadium. Yeah. Then you're going to do something about it, and sooner rather than later, we've got to be a bit more strong-armed with things.
Yeah.
No, I agree. But speaking of refereeing as well, did you see the United game last night? You know, like the first half, the referee was
given. I was clicking in between the Juve Madrid game and the United game.
Yeah, so, yeah. I just had the United game on, and it was the referee. Fuck me, Gary Neville would not stop going on about it as well. It's quite funny, but fair enough. The referee was given yellows for everything. And I mean fucking everything.
Really?
Yeah, and he was just really wanted to be the big man. And it got to half time, and obviously someone must have said something to him. Someone must have turned around and gone, "Will you stop giving those fucking easy yellow cards up?" Because I think he only put one person, if that, in the second half, and he barely even brought a card out or brought about. It was so painful to be like every little challenge was a card or he had to have a word with somebody. And you're like, mate, like the best referees are not even noticed. They're the ones that just let the game flow. And he was so involved. But obviously, someone said something after him. They're like, will you get out of the fucking limelight and let these boys play? Let the boys play, damn it. Let the boys play.
A couple of things. We're going to have to make it short. There are a couple of things. Holloway. Anyone
we are Holloway. Holloway Rangers.
Holloway is now.
That's where I went to uni.
So the reason it was stepped down. It was a bit of mutual concern.
The chairman, so there's four chairmen, if you like, or four people who are in charge of Palace. None of them wanted him to go. I think that's quite evident in what happened, you know, in the interviews last night. I think Holloway just feels that he's lost the squad. He's not got team morale going the right way, and he wants someone to go in and do a better job.
Yeah.
My biggest fear for a Palace fan or Palace's football club is. If Tony Pulis is the one that they're going to bring in, then, all right, yeah, he's got experience in keeping teams up in the Premiership, he's never got been relegated, but fuck me, do you really want to go
Tony
there?
Pulis with a fucking Crystal Palace cap on.
On the other hand, Di Matteo has been linked with a job. I just don't know if Di Matteo would want it, but I mean...
I honestly believe that... Even if it wasn't a long-term contract, that Pulis would be a good shout for this season. Now, for this season.
For this season, maybe.
But that's what I mean. They need someone to get their
shit in order. Sort it out now, straight away.
Literally. Yeah. And like, even if it means ugly football, I reckon, as a Palace fan, they would get through this season of ugly football to stay in the Prem.
No, I think any Palace fan would take that. If you can stay in the Premiership, then fine. And financially, they're not going to be unstable if they go down now because of the parachute payments and the rest of it. But, any Palace fan would probably take... When you've had, one win in eight games, seven losses, you'd take a bit of shit football and staying up, wouldn't you? But
what was the total amount? How many players? 14?
14.
He brought in 14 players, but... Yeah, so,
one of them didn't even get a squad number.
Spit it out,
come on.
Well, I'm trying to talk about something, I can't remember what I said. I sit next to a Palace fan in the office, and she said, she's actually very knowledgeable on the team. She said that...
Avril?
No. Avril's on jury service. Claire Moody. Anyway, she said that three of the 14 players that were brought in haven't even been registered in the 25-man squad. Apparently they brought them in, looked at them and gone, oh shit, that's a fucking mistake.
Yeah.
Like, literally...
Something needs to change.
Coupled with the other thing that some of the
some of the integral members of the team who got the team promoted last season also haven't been included in the 25-man squad.
This is what they were saying. They were saying, look, if you look at the teams that are doing well so far, that are the ones that have barely changed their starting 11. They brought in a couple of extra players.
Who's top of the league right now?
Honestly, you're right.
And City haven't actually mucked around with their team too much. United aren't top. And he's tinkering all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Was Van Persie injured last night?
Yeah, he was.
Fellaini?
Fingers and groin, or toes and groin, or something. No, Fellaini wasn't. That was a weird one.
Weird injury.
Yeah, I know.
Toes and groin.
Toes and groin.
And knees and toes.
But no, sure. Just going back to Palace and Fulham, they did say it was pretty much, the big chat before the game was lose against Hive. And because Martin Yol losing at Palace,
I think Yol could have been shocked, definitely.
Which is what I mean. They reckon. And I'm really glad that they didn't and they won, because I fucking love Martin Yol.
Yeah.
But yeah, I reckon, right, a few funny stories, because we'll have to wrap this up. Harry Redknapp getting smacked in the face by a ball and then 10 seconds later
whoever scoring. Filmed that is a fucking genius. That was amazing.
That is one of the funniest videos. Really, it's a 15 good. Second video that they've got, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it literally starts off with Redknapp getting hit in the face, turning around going, you fucking whatever it was, to some geezer, and then the camera just then turns to the pitch. And they fucking put the ball in the back of the net all in the space of 15 seconds.
It's a really good video.
It's a hilarious, hilarious video.
Has anyone seen what Roy Keane's mum said?
No.
Has she got a Twitter?
Well, so it's in response to some of Alex Ferguson's comments in his book.
Which I think we'll talk about next week when Coxon's here, because it'll be interesting.
But, I mean, this is a book I'm going to buy, definitely. You've got to read what Fergie's got to say. Yeah. But Roy Keane's mum's come out in defence of her son, saying it's unfair some of the things that Ferguson said about her son.
No. To be fair, I reckon
Roy Keane's mum
would pipe up. Yeah. My mum would pipe up if someone's been not mean to me.
Yeah. Roy Keane is a Alex Ferguson.
Think about this, right? Think about how hard Roy Keane is. How hard do you reckon his fucking mum is?
Yeah. He's scared of his mum.
I mean, he's fucking terrified of his mum.
He must be.
Think how fucking hard Roy Keane's mum must be.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
Fucking, I bet you.
Let's leave it at that on that one.
Mental. No, I'm just going to bosh out a few bits of news. Tim Cahill scored the fastest ever MLS goal at the weekend in 7 seconds. And it was a bit of a thunder bastard as well.
Ooh. Shame it wasn't for us, but never mind.
Well. No. Leeds United have suspended Ryan Hall for this tweet that he sent out at the weekend. What a prick. Look on the bright side. If you're not getting played, take out the L and get paid. And a fist, like icon, like boom, sort of thing. Like, what a prick. Don't antagonise people. Footballers get everyone thinks that footballers get paid too much money anyway. Don't then sit and brag about the fact that you can sit on your ass, get paid.
Team bus, mate.
What a complete prick. I think my funniest point of the week, and I really hope this is true. I'll let you be the judge, but I reckon that you'll agree with me that the chances are it probably is. Right? Allegedly, I might add, Joe Kinnear.
was at
Birmingham's game the other night, right? And he asked manager Lee Clark, "I like the look of your left winger. What's his name?" Clark turned around to him and said, "Shane Ferguson. He's on loan from Newcastle." I really hope that's true.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because it is fucking amazing. Nice. You can just imagine Kinnear sat there and going, "Oh, no, he's all right, mate. What's his name?" Yeah, mate, that's Shane Ferguson.
Do you want to buy him off?
He's one of yours.
Fucking hell.
Fucking brilliant.
Gareth Bale getting the shit ripped out of him on a Spanish sketch show for basically being Forrest Gump.
He's a bit of a rabbit in the headlight at the moment, isn't he?
He was on the bench last night. He's obviously regarded as a bit of a simpleton. Which I think is really harsh, because he's clearly not. Like, he's quite an intelligent lad, Bale. Yes, like, from the conversation, well, interviews.
He makes Joe Kinnear look clever.
Well, fuck me.
Better call him Forrest Gump.
Yeah, literally. it was something along the lines. Honestly, it was like, and all he kept saying was quite a bit of Gareth Bale. Gareth Bale. Like, oh, fucking hell. Unlucky lad. Nelson Vivas sacked as Quilmes. I think that's
Nelson Vivas.
Sacked as Quilmes manager.
Oh, Quilmes.
Quilmes, sorry, Quilmes.
Yeah.
John's in him. For punching a fan in the face.
Go on, son. Go on, Nelson.
He might be one of the worst players Arsenal ever had. Ever.
Oh, that's a big
Nicholas
shout.
Nicholas Bentner.
It's a big shout. And also, and on that, FC 20 boss Michael Janssen got a tooth knocked out by his assistant at the weekend while celebrating a goal. Geezer's jumped up to celebrate and got an uppercut square in the mouth, knocked the tooth out.
Where'd you get that one from? That's brilliant.
I can't remember.
Like that.
Oh, you know I love my research.
I've got a geography question for you.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Who are you playing tonight?
Who?
Well, first of all, so what's the name of the team that you're playing tonight?
Oh, obviously. I shout the Sheriff.
Yeah, so you're playing Sheriff.
I read this, haven't I?
Who are not...
No, you're supposed to say, where are they based?
Where are they based, Daniel?
They're based in Moldova, Ant.
No, they're not, Daniel.
Are they not, Ant?
They're based in a country I've never heard of before.
Because it's not officially a country.
But they have their own passports
and
their
border
own
control.
System.
Yeah, so they're not recognised. How do you pronounce it? Have you got it written down?
Yeah, so it's called Transnistria.
Yeah.
Is that a country?
No. So they...
I want to listen to Transnistria.
It's a rogue state, you know what I mean, that's basically gone independent. No one else in the world recognises it as an independent country.
Stripping between Moldova and Ukraine.
Yeah, but they've got their own passports, different like passport control. Apparently, getting from Moldova into Transylvania, where the fuck it's called, is a nightmare.
Transnistria.
That's it. So Spurs are actually playing.
Unbelievable.
Not in Moldova because it just happened that FC Sheriff is in this part. So they're actually not playing in Moldova tonight, but they are.
It's Spurs Day today.
But they're not.
You know what? In your UEFA qualifying group, they're actually in second spot as well. They're not bottom. You'd expect a minnow like that
from a country that doesn't exist.
Two games, two draws.
Not a real
two
team.
Games, cool. two draws.
Right, very anyway. Quickly wrapping it up. Melbourne Heart. I'm not going to do an Aussie accent after
that. That was such a good accent.
I'm not going to force you to. I'm not going to force you.
Absolute shambles of this week. Oh, sorry. A bit of news before that. Perth Glory have a new centre back.
What's his name?
Ex Spurs, ex Arsenal.
Oh no.
It's Sol not Campbell.
It's not.
No, you muppet.
It's not.
Here,
I think.
Willie G.
Oh,
Gallas has popped up in
Willie
Australia.
G's popped up in Perth.
A half time baller.
Signed a year's contract.
G'day,
mate. But yes, on to Hart. It was similar to last season, so close, yet so far. They were 2-0 up at half time against Central Coast Mariners, last year's winners, and two second half penalties, unfortunately, for Central Coast ended up being a 2-2 draw. Really good signs though, good signs for the Heart, a lot of positives, just need to make sure you hold on to a freaking 2-0 lead.
Yeah, trivia question.
Oh yeah.
So have they got it? No.
Yeah. Speak now if you got the question right.
Question again, only players who ever scored in the Champions League final, FA Cup final, UEFA Cup final and the League Cup final.
Thierry Henry.
No, incorrect.
Van Nistelrooy.
No.
Robbie Fowler.
No, nearly. He's still playing.
Still playing?
Yeah.
What team's he at?
If I say it, it's going to give it away.
All right. Van Persie.
Nope.
Dimitar Berbatov.
No, let's stop naming footballers. It was Steven Gerrard.
Whee!
Right, that'll do.
We will see you next week for the real Podcast 150.
Bye-bye.